Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
From HTTC Uncensored on X on Twitter. Do you have any knowledge on a possible July release of a new Commander's alternate helmet? Rumors are the black helmet will now feature a W, but the photo of JD5 holding a spear has ignited the fan base. Redesign 2026? Honestly, the only thing that I will say is the thing that I started to say last fall, and that is, even if they decide to stick with the name, I think there's a good chance they'll do something with the uniforms. How long that takes, I don't know. It could be introduced in some way as an alternate in 2025, I guess, but probably wouldn't be an overhaul until at least 2026. So that's all I can say. It's not something that I'm following closely. Not a uniform guy. I would love it if they change the uniforms to look like they used to look. Something similar to sort of feel like we're watching the team that for many of us we grew up and rooted for decades, which looks so different now. But I don't have an answer to that at all. So we are waiting for Dan Quinn to address the media after this final day of mandatory minicamp. By the way, according to John Keim, there are a lot of owners out at training camp today, included among the attendees, Josh Harris, Mitch Rales, Mark Ein, but also Bob Myers is there. I want clarification on this. Is Bob Myers an owner? Is he a limited partner? I don't think he is. I think he's just been a part of that executive search committee, or whatever they called that, when they were in search of the general manager and then the head coach. Bob Myers was on the set of ABC's coverage last night of the NBA Finals Game 3 in Indianapolis. By the way, he's pretty good on that. It's not a good show. I mean, we're comparing it to the TNT thing. Nothing will ever live up to that. It's not really that good. It's kind of painful to watch at times. But Bob really, you can tell, knows hoops. More so than Stephen A. does, all due respect. Stephen A. is, man, he is, I respect the game and I respect the effort because nobody works harder than him. I mean, he just added a couple of radio shows, Sirius XM, to his thing. He is a worker and he's an entertainer, and whether you like him or not, he figured it out. He's smart, the whole thing. He's just not a true basketball analyst. He knows the personalities, he knows the stories, he knows the history, all of that. But that show has lacked some of that true basketball analysis. You know, guys like Legler. Tim's a real, he understands basketball. Bob Myers, I think, really does in listening to him. So he's there as well. So Quinn is going to be speaking at some point. You'll let me know when we're going to go live. to Quinn. We might get an update on Noah Brown. But Quinn was on a podcast the other day, Chris Long's podcast, called Greenlight. And there were a couple of sound bites that I wanted to play. First of all, he was asked specifically about the selection of Josh Connerly Jr. and how that shakes up the offensive line. Here's what he said.
Well, not just Tunsil. You got a young draft pick in Connerly. And, you know, obviously the Cosme injury popped up at a tough time last year. I think it's, you know, probably instructive, and you already know this, but, like, you can never have enough guys up there. And it feels like you have a surplus now. I don't want to forget about Coleman, who I thought did a really nice job last year and probably has some versatility. What do you see in his future?
We're going to move him inside to guard.
Great.
And he had experience at both at TCU, playing inside and outside. We're going to keep him on the left side. And but as you may know, like in screens and getting out and getting downfield, and when you create space on defense like we do with our offense and no huddle and spreading it out, like the linemen who can get to the second level and get on people and stay on people, like Brandon Coleman can do that. He's got the quickness, Chris, of a tackle, but the size of a big guy. And so for your listeners, and you know this, sometimes the best athletes are the outside guys, but they're not the biggest. And then the strongest guys usually inside. And so in this offense, having guys that can get to the next level of Dermot Cosme and Brandon Coleman and those at guard, that's a big deal.
So look, we all assumed that Brandon Coleman would land inside. He confirmed that on Chris Long's podcast, and also said that he will line up at left guard. So that means Allegretti starts at right guard, which also tells you, I guess, to a certain extent, that when Cosme comes back, their plan is to replace Allegretti with Cosme, because Cosme is their right guard. So putting Coleman next to Tunsil makes sense, and that should be a pretty effective left side. There was more from this Chris Long podcast with Dan Quinn from the other day, and some of it not having to do with specifically football-related matters, but he was asked by Chris Long about, you know, a year in D.C. and, you know, dealing with what has become at least, you know, a rejuvenated fan base. Even if it's not all the way back, it's certainly on the way back. Here's what he said.
Does it feel like, was there any moment last year, knowing Washington football recent history, where you're like, you look up in the stands and you're saying, hey, we haven't done it yet, but it does feel like we're moving in the right direction, because the buzz around that team was, you had to feel it up there.
Yeah, it's a lot of emotions. I'd say one, like for me, like I grew up in New Jersey, so grew up like loving football about the NFC East, and it was the Giants and the Eagles and Redskins and Cowboys. And it was like, it was always on Sunday afternoon, you know, like those games, those matchups. So I can remember it well. And I knew the fan base here, what it was like. And I knew coming here with Adam, like, this had, I'd say, the last game, Chris, the last game we played the Falcons on a Sunday night. And although losing at halftime, running in, like feeling a stadium's energy, and then to win in overtime, that was the one to make it feel like I remember how important the fan base is to this organization and vice versa. So it was in that night. All the way towards the end, there was a couple of moments that were good, but there'd always been a couple of games like, damn, this is damn near 50%, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but it was in that moment that I was like, this is cool, man. This is the fan base that I knew was here. And so that was a really cool night.
Yeah. I mean, you forget about that Atlanta game, you know, moved to Sunday night, flex to Sunday night football. Atlanta's got the 17-7 halftime lead. They tie the game up late, and then they had the field goal to win it at the gun in regulation. You know, their kicker, Patterson, missed a 55-yarder at the gun. It was a long kick, don't get me wrong, and the place was so loud. And then Washington won the toss, and Jaden Daniels put on an epic performance on that overtime drive to win. He was also asked by Chris Long about coaching and living in D.C. now for a year.
Yeah, you've coached in places where they get it loud.
Yep.
You know, Seattle, Atlanta, not to mention Dallas when it's rocking. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two, but this place feels like it can be a different kind of rowdy.
Yeah, and in D.C., it's cool, man. Like, living around here, it never gets old seeing, like, the monuments in the Capitol and that. And then on those times in that game to feel, like, the importance of this franchise, again, in the NFL, it meant something to me. I still remember leaving Dallas and Jerry Jones saying how important, you know, the organization was to the NFL. And that spoke to me from all the way back into the 30s to one of the old heavy hitters in the NFL as the Redskins and now Commanders. And like that carried weight with me, knowing that, like, you know, this has been one of the crown jewels. And it's been cool reaching back out to, like, you know, a lot of conversations with Coach Gibbs and some of the old players that were here.
Wow.
Like Doug Williams is here. And so it's cool, man. Like, to know where you want to go, you also need to know, like, where you've been a little bit. And so
no question. Cool, I see the Daryl Green. I see the Doug Williams, man, on the wall back there. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, those two are like absolute heavy hitters, man, in our game. Yeah. And, I wanted to get to know them and what made them different.
He's a good guy. I mean, he really is. I think it's going to work out, certainly with him being a head coach. I mean, he is incredibly well-respected. There's just a lot of self-awareness with Dan Quinn. We've talked about that from the beginning. And, you know, embracing the past, even though, honestly, he's not going to be judged on that. You know, he's judged on what happens on the field now and moving forward. But I think it's genuine. It's the one thing I think I've said about Quinn from the jump, that everything, you know, even when you get some of the corny stuff, you know, tell the truth Mondays and some of the cliched stuff from, you know, coaching cliched stuff, I do think, and from the, it's just a gut and an observation, I do think it comes from a truly sincere and genuine place. Lastly, I wanted you to hear what he said to Chris Long on Chris Long's podcast about Jaden Daniels and when they knew he was the guy.
How did you, in conjunction with the GM and the owner, know he was the guy? And then when was it confirmed that you were right? Like, was there a moment, whether it was in, you know, mini camp or camp or during the season, where you were like, yep, we got him?
Adam knew, the GM, Adam knew before, certainly before any of us, and he knew it right away, man. He was the first player we evaluated together. And so as we were going through an LSU game, he said, hold on, let me show you something, and went back to, like, him at ASU against Oregon as a true freshman. And he was definitely the, you know, the number one player on our board for a reason. But it was definitely Adam, man. Like, he was the one. He knew it. It was a cool concept to go through and evaluate all the other quarterbacks. You know, we went out to LA, we went to Michigan, we were down in North Carolina, down to Baton Rouge. You're there for a few days. And so I had never gone through that, you know, during my time in Atlanta. Matt was there the whole time. And Dak, obviously, in Dallas, I was coaching on defense, but Dak was there the whole time. So it was my first real experience of, like, the whole process all the way through. And after watching the tape and then being around him down in Baton Rouge and then here, yeah, it was pretty clear, like, this is a real one.
There he goes. That was some Dan Quinn from the other day on Chris Long's podcast. They are just, I think, finishing up their final mandatory minicamp day. When we come back, we'll play some of, or carry some of, Dan Quinn's live final press conference, I think, probably until, maybe there's another OTA day, but it might be the last one till training camp. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. You can also watch us on our Team 980 YouTube page. Like us and subscribe us when you get there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
J.J. Spahn continues to lead the U.S. Open first round, 4-under, just at this point, 8 players under par on the day. Dan Quinn is stepping to the mic to address the media out in Ashburn. Here he is.
You know, 8 weeks or so, which began the same week as the draft. And so we started with the players the 22nd, did the draft that weekend, and then over the next few weeks, we really pushed it hard on the skills. And then as we added the new players here, how would we onboard them, standards for it, got into some of the practice work, and then that finished today where we got to see, you know, where we're at. So it was a really meaningful, you know, session for this offseason for the guys to go. And perhaps one of my favorite parts is, you know, having a time for their families to be here today. And maybe at some places, you know, throughout the years, the end of a mini camp might have felt like 1 foot out the door. And what I thought was cool for me to watch from afar is the connection the team has had for one another. So on the day where that sometimes happens through the years, there was 100 kids and like another, you know, 100 adults hanging. And so that meant a lot that they enjoy spending that time together as a big, you know, team. And so I'm like, that was really cool. And then we have about 40 days till we get rolling again. And we had a couple guys talk about what that time looks like. Ken Norton and Wes Welker addressed the team onto that this morning. And I think between the two of them, they played about, you know, 25 or 26 years. So they know what training into that space looks like when you really want to go for it and what that training looks like to be in that kind of shape to get ready. So it was a fun day, and open up to you guys to get rolling.
Not to go from that to something different, but can you update us on Noah Brown?
I have no update. I know he's getting an MRI today, this afternoon. So, I don't want to speculate.
On what?
MRI today. Yeah.
Okay. And then what, when you look back on this period, like what are maybe some things that stand out to like the best thing you saw or the where it highlights the growth maybe in what you hope to see in the program overall?
I love that we came back in like really hungry to prove it, John. And that's, I think, a good sign as opposed to, you know, letting your skills go, you know, down, or your eye not as sharp, or those things. So to come in with things specific to work on to go get better, that was big for me. And then to see people begin who were here year one to help the first year players, now first year free agents, first year rookies, get up to speed. You know, when I see Nick Ballore over the last 3 days, like teaching like he's a coach, that means a lot, you know, because we don't ask Nick to do that, but that's how he pays it forward to the other guys here. And that's what a leader does, of helping get everybody ready. And so I saw him with Bill. I saw him with not just another linebacker, he was with a running back, talking through punt technique and what to do. And so, like, that to me, John, is what I'd hoped I'd see from developing leaders, that it doesn't just come from the coaches. Through my time, man, have I learned a lot from players over my, you know, last 25 years or so. So, like, that was cool to see.
That you've been around other successful teams, is that different or more enhanced this year than what you've seen in the past?
For sure more enhanced here this year. So the roster was pretty fluid, you know, last year, and that was true even, you know, into camp and into the season. Like, Nick wasn't here last off season, so perhaps he might have done that, but we were all still, you know, gaining our space together, and so he has proven that. And so I think that's a byproduct of, you know, spending a lot of time together.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
I know you said Coach Norton and Wes Walker talked to the players, but like,
yes,
from your standpoint, especially the rookies who kind of run right from their season into all this, what do you want these guys to do during this next 40 days?
Yeah, we talked, Adam and I visited with each one specifically. So we had a one-on-one meeting over the last week. Where are they? How's it been? And going through that process with them, what does the next 40 days look like in terms of moving here and set, even, you know, away from football? You know, like, it's so easy to get to, where are you training and what does this look like compared to, man, like, who's coming? What is that? Where are they? How are all the things? And so we wanted to check on, you know, who the person was first, and then we got into, all right, I'm going to go to Fort Lauderdale. That's where I want to train. I'm going to come back here and train, you know, during that break time. So one-on-one times, and I would say they're all accustomed to who needed what the most. It was good to see some guys really coming in with a plan, because that's, if you're already coming in with ideas and thoughts about what you want to get done, man, like, you're already moving forward than waiting for Adam or I to say, I think you need to start doing X, Y, and Z. So I love seeing when people are already coming in with a share of, like, hey, man, the self-awareness to know this is what I got to get done.
And then I wanted to ask you about running back Chris Rodriguez. I know he had some really good moments for you guys last year, bounced back and forth a little bit, kind of a role player, but this year made a conscious effort to slim down,
yes,
a little bit more compact, kind of just what you've seen from that change from him this offseason.
Yeah, that was one of the things we discussed for him through the offseason, and he's really applied himself into that to make sure he can be at his absolute best. You're right, he made some really meaningful runs, and so if he could get himself into the best shape he's ever been in, that would give him the best chance for it. It's a very competitive running back room, but looking at the work Chris has done, you know, over the last, you know, 3 months or so, it's been significant.
How are you thinking about the right side of the offensive line with Cosme recovering, a rookie at right tackle competing? How are you thinking about that as you head towards training camp?
Yeah, I know that with Sam, you know, he's hitting all the benchmarks, but when does that, you know, get there? I don't know. I'm not there yet to knowing, like, we're not going to miss one step with him. What I do know is that I love the competition that we have on the offensive line right now. You know, at guards and centers, and who's playing at right tackle, and how are we working through the guys. So it'll take some work as we're going through into training camp. But those are the types of challenges like you want as a coach. It's not like, who in the hell is going to play over here? It's more like, this is going to be an absolute battle to see where it goes. So that's most of the time has been my experience, Bram, where, like, the competition of one another, like, really pushes us forward, and the whole group gets better.
I think today was the first time you guys have done 11-on-11 in minicamp.
No, we've done some more yet.
Okay. How much do you balance sort of, you know, limiting that versus other drills?
Yeah. So, you know, we do like a training camp ramp up. So the OTA times are small. So we did an OTA ramp up. So the first day of our OTAs, we did only 7-on-7. And then the next one, it was OTA and one period of, you know, 8 plays. and then some more. So we kind of ramped up the team part of it. So where we could, hey, work on the skills, then put it all together. So it's the challenging part. I think we still have a lot of work to do as an NFL and teams to, like, what's the best way for the off season to go in terms of practicing. Like, our number one job for all the 32 teams is, like, make everybody safe, you know, like, as we're going through it. And then I feel the same way when we get to camp. Like, our job is to get them to the season safely. And it's this awesome, tough tug of war between balancing what's needed and how to do it safely. And, oh, by the way, here's, you know, some people that are here on a, you know, free agent to go take their shot, and they're trying to tell them, hey man, really take it easy here. Like, hey, you know, the hell with that. Like this is my shot. And so, like, you can imagine how difficult that is in training camp or an off season, different than in season. Okay. Smaller team, roster, game situation. So the competitive nature is what we want here. That's really what, you know, like, the central theme of the program is. And so my constant battle is keeping it safe, doing it up, knowing the scoreboard's not on here. Like, this is not a collision. This is not a diving for a play. And that's the hardest lesson. It's not hard for the veteran. It's the hardest for the young player really trying to prove themselves. Like, I belong. I want to show you that. And if any of us were in that spot, we'd have a similar mindset as well. So that's the, like, the trick and the balance of it all.
I have a Jaden question. I can't believe Keim didn't ask it already. But how have you
we'll
seen?
Give it back to me.
How have you seen ways in which he's really shown a comfort with the system, the staff, just yeah. where he's at in his career, and really taking command? No pun intended.
Yeah, I felt that. I've always felt he had real control of things, and we work at the line of scrimmage a lot, and he's really comfortable in that. He was always somebody that, you know, really was on his details. What I guess seeing now is just the accuracy, the footwork. So more of his body mechanics that he wanted to emphasize. I see that coming through in his play. I see the speed, you know, that he's, you know, out on the edge with. So those are the things that during the off-season time that, like, you can really push it. So we had one where he had a keeper yesterday and turned it in, you know, where he was up the sideline for 30 or 40 yards, and he was one of the fastest players on the field on that play. And so those are the ones that, okay, that's a person being aggressive to go take their shot. And then I would say the individual time with new players, he did some of that last year, honestly. Like, when Noah came, I can remember him, like, staying after and working with him. But seeing him put in the work with different people who are new to him and to the organization, I think that, like, speaks of the leadership. It's not anything that I asked him to do, but he knew for that person and him to be in sync, there had to be some unseen work together. And so those would be a few of the things.
What advice did Ken and Wes give the players?
For Ken, he said, you don't know when your time is going to come. You know, he said, for me, it was the big year was year five that, you know, he ended up winning his first.
All right, we will we'll move away from Dan Quinn. A lot of questions. That was a good question about Jaden there, but a lot about Chris Rodriguez and other, you know, down the roster things. He did say at the beginning he's got no update on Noah Brown, although he's getting an MRI today, and he did not specify the body part. He doesn't actually have to. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, if you haven't been following the college sports pay-for-play salary cap, you know, developments, last week there was a big legal settlement, which essentially means now we're into the salary cap era for college football, college basketball, and all of the other sports. Jesse Dougherty at the Washington Post has been following it very closely, reporting on it. You'll hear him next.
All right, last night the Indiana Pacers were able to pull away with a win versus Oklahoma City. They win 116-107, the first NBA Finals home game in 25 years for the Pacers. And the place was bumping. Benedict Mathurin scored the most NBA Finals points off the bench since Jason Terry with 27. The Pacers are also 8-0 in the playoffs when Caitlin Clark is in attendance. Per Adam Schefter, Bengals first-round pick Shamar Stewart has left mandatory minicamp, this following a disagreement in contract language that would allow the Bengals to avoid future guaranteed money. The U.S. Open continues to get underway. J.J. Spahn sits at the top of the leaderboard at 4 under. Siwoo Kim and Thomas Dietrich sit at 2, at tied for second at 2 under. And then we just have two other golfers that sit below par. And then last night, the Washington Nationals, they lose to the New York Mets by a score of 5-0. A rough night for Jake Irvin as he gives up 5 hits and 4 earned runs. They have a day game going right in just a few minutes against the Mets. First pitch is at 1:10. Nats on deck in about 5 minutes at 12:40. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports, and that is what is trending.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Joining me right now is Jesse Dougherty from the Washington Post. It's been a while since we've had Jesse on the show. He used to cover the Nats, and now he is writing about things like the state of college sports as it relates to getting outright paid to play with an associated salary cap and, you know, what's happening with NIL, etc. Jesse wrote over the weekend. He just wrote again today, and he joins me right now. So, look, I know that this is an ever-changing, very dynamic situation, but I just want you to start, Jesse, with the basics. You know, we've had this wild, wild west era of NIL for the last few years. It's led to, you know, something akin to annual unrestricted free agency for college athletes. What happened over the weekend with that district judge approving, a major change to college athletics? Where are we right now as we head into, you know, a fall of college football and then another, you know, big college basketball season?
Yeah, I appreciate the way you introduced my coverage area, too, because when people ask me what I cover, I usually just say, if it confuses you in college sports, I'm probably writing about it. So that's kind of my unofficial coverage area. So last Friday, a judge in Northern California approved what's sort of quickly known as the House Settlement for College Sports. And what that's going to do is it's a consolidation of three major cases that basically challenged NCAA restrictions on athletes getting paid or athlete compensation. So in the backward side, it's going to pay athletes out and their lawyers $2.8 billion. I mean, that's a big class of athletes. So some will make big checks. A lot of people will make like $2, right?
This is for past athletes.
That's for past athletes and some current ones that are in a certain window.
Okay.
But more importantly, for the current landscape, this settlement is basically going to set the new economic model for college sports, which means that for the first time ever, schools will be able to pay athletes directly, not just through boosters and booster groups that we call collectives. And then on top of that, the NCAA and the power conferences are attempting to use the settlement and the rules it established to actually curb a lot of that booster spending, to make it so NIL deals are more about marketing and are in line with something closer to what they're deeming fair market value. Now, there's a lot of thorny legal questions with that, free market principle versus enforcement, but that's basically the gist. We're on the sort of tip of the spear now of this new era that will start officially July 1st when schools can start paying athletes directly for the first time.
Okay, so let's try to explain the new economic model and paying, you know, athletes directly rather than the way they've been paid for the last few years and probably were paid even before the era of NIL. So how will it work? I mean, maybe we just use the Big Ten as an example in a school like Maryland, which I'm an alum of and many people are who are listening are familiar with.
Yeah, so the payment model is being referred to as revenue sharing. Basically, the idea is that athletes will finally share in the revenue they generate instead of, as you mentioned, the schools relying on outside third parties, boosters, et cetera, to pay them, which has been legal, quote unquote, for the past 3 years. And as you pointed out, was been going on for decades before that. It just happened to McDonald's bags and right, what have you. So the revenue share payments to athletes, each school will start out with a salary cap of around $20.5 million. Now, that cap's going to rise each year for the next 10 years, is what this legal settlement covers. But basically, they have that money now to pay athletes. And what a lot of schools are going to do, what I imagine actually most Power 4 schools will do, is give a lot of that money to football players and men's basketball players, and then give a little bit of that money to women's basketball players, and then give an even smaller portion of that money to everybody else. And the reason why they believe they have legal cover to do that, and I believe it's going to actually just invite a lot more lawsuits and whatnot, but the reason why they believe they do is because that's the formula that was also used to divvy up that $2.8 billion I just mentioned on the back damages. Now, I know we're getting a little in the weeds here, but basically, the back damages decided that because football and basketball players had generated a lot of that revenue they weren't able to get in the past, that most of it should go to those former athletes in those sports. And now schools are going to use that justification to say, well, now that we're sharing revenue with athletes in 2025 and 2026, we believe that because those sports make the most money, those athletes should also make the most money. So you're going to start to see schools publicize their plans. University of Georgia is one. If you're interested in this, Google it, because they've put out their exact formula of which sports will get which shares of that $20.5 million. And I think their system is very indicative of how schools like Maryland, Michigan, Big Ten peers, Big 12 peers, ACC peers will also handle this.
So just tell me real quickly, what's Georgia's plan?
Georgia's plan is basically to give a really, really big share to football. I don't know the exact numbers. I think it's in the 12 to 13 range. A really big share to men's basketball, and then I believe around $1,900,000 to women's basketball, and then around $1,900,000 to every other sport.
Right.
So if you think about it as a pie chart, football's going to take up about three quarters. Now I'm terrible at math, but around three quarters, or whatever.
It
may be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then basketball will fill up some of that, and obviously a much smaller roster. Although men's basketball players in this era have made a lot of money because, as we see in the NBA, one guy can actually affect the score a lot differently, unless it's a quarterback, than football players, right?
Yeah.
Point guards and centers and power forwards are really valuable in this era, too, in college sports. And then the other sports kind of get put in this bucket where they're getting a really small share.
So let's just say, like, let's call it $20 million, $15 million goes to football. What happens then? How do they pay that $15 million out to roughly 100 players that are on the team?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be really interesting. I don't think it's going to be, you know, everyone gets the same amount, because
no,
that's just not how the world works. I think we see that in the NIL era too. Like, boosters don't pay every athlete the same. There are some schools who did programs like every offensive lineman or every softball player. But in football, I mean, quarterbacks, running backs, like, these are all going to be part of negotiated contracts. I mean, personnel directors and NIL directors at schools deal a lot with agents, some of whom are from the big companies we know, CAA, WME, through Rosenhaus Group, and some of whom are players' barbers or uncles or friends from chemistry class. I mean, it's been, you know, when you say Wild West, I think a lot of people might use that to say it's crazy that athletes are getting paid, and I don't think that's your point either. I think when people say that, it's lack of regulation has just created a crazy world that so many people are sort of clawing for bites of the apple.
Right.
So when we think about how that money's going to get divvied up, it's going to be all negotiated, and you're going to have a salary cap and a budget and a payroll, just like pro sports. We've seen a lot of college teams hire former GMs, personnel directors from the NFL, from the NBA, scouts, people who know this because it's the professionalization of college sports. But really, I think while a lot of that's transferable, it's also so many different dynamics too. It's just been a really crazy world.
On, let's just call it, you know, the $20.5 million salary cap for the Power Four schools, it's up to $20.5 million, right? It doesn't mean that they're not going to be required to spend $20.5 million, in part because some schools won't have it to spend, right?
No, for sure, yes. And you had asked about sort of Big Ten peers like Maryland. I expect a lot of those schools to get either at that number or really close. But, like, for example, Morgan State, the Maryland school, came out and said they want to participate in this settlement. It's optional for any non-P4 school whether they want to pay their athletes and then be subject to other rules like new roster limits and things of that sort. But Morgan State's going to pay, like, you know, less than $500,000 a year to its athletes. And I believe they're going to only really do it in basketball, maybe some football. And their angle is, we want to really be competitive in our conference. We want to win recruiting battles against the school next door. We're not trying to be Duke, obviously. But they see an advantage where if they can cobble together the money from donors or from the couch cushions in their department budget to do that, they think it's an advantage. And I think there's a perception, too. Look at us. We're a small school, but we can participate in this new world. We can join the professionalization of college sports in a way that, you know, State U down the road, who you might be considering too as a Morgan State recruit, they're not doing it. So I think it's a great point, and something I should make sure to mention is that not every school is going to participate and not every school is going to spend to the limit. But there's going to be a lot of interesting ones, like even some schools maybe launch into trying to monetize it for specific sports, soccer programs, volleyball. Can we stand out in softball even if we don't have a football program? There's going to be a lot of that going on, and the sort of, I think a lot of schools also might wait a little bit, see it for a year, and then opt in later to see how does this play out, and then how can we fit into the landscape.
All right, sticking with the salary cap and the Power Four schools, will players be forced to sign a contract?
A lot of them will, yeah. And I think players want them, too, in some cases, too. They want the school to have liability that they'll honor the commitments. And obviously, that's a negotiation, and the more experienced lawyers will leverage that, or agents, rather, will leverage that. I think a lot of athletes may be going to these fairly blind, and schools will say things like, well, every athlete signed the same contract. All right, cool, let me sign my signature. And you might be binding on something you didn't really want to do, and later you say, man, now I'm trying to transfer, and I need to pay back half that money, or they're saying I can be here for 3 years, or else I face financial penalty. Like, there's a lot of intricacies in this world, and I think without players' unions, without like an NFLPA-type group or NBAPA, like, there's big questions on how this stuff all gets worked out. There's a lot less oversight on both sides for the players, for the schools. So it's there's going to be a year, 2 year, 3 year period here where I think there's more questions and answers on things like that. But we're going to see it sort of attacked and handled in probably 1,000 different ways because there's just so many more programs and schools and coaches and agents than there are in pro sports. So there's creativity, but it's also subverting the system. It's also taking advantage of people and bad actors. So there's a lot going on.
I guess I'm wondering if this creates an environment where the transfer portal slows down, where it becomes much less than what it's been, because in my opinion, Jesse, in many ways, it's been the, you know, the player that comes in for 1 year and then, you know, bids it out for the next year, unrestricted free agency, something professional athletes haven't even had. That's been more off-putting than the money itself. And I'm wondering if this salary cap associated contracts with players will limit or at least slow down the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think it could to a degree. And I think that's definitely a big focus for the NCAA. I think they want to limit booster spending because booster spending has largely fueled that mass transfer. I mean, it's like you said, it's annual free agency, but it's also annual free agency without budgets. It's also annual free agency where tampering rules are really, really hard to enforce. And I think on one hand, you say, well, athletes are really tied into situations for a long time. They've sort of been waiting for this freedom. But then there's the question of how much freedom is too much and does it hurt the product? And does it hurt these athletes in some cases too? So, I mean, I think on one hand, it's probably good that players can at least get closer to making the decisions coaches do. The public doesn't generally fault someone from going from Murray State to Kentucky after a great season.
Right.
For obvious reasons. But I think your point is spot on. Like, it's really hard to get behind these teams when you can't see the same group grow together or you can't see the three-year arc of a player. And that used to be the allure of college sports versus sort of player movement in professional sports. And it's actually reverted back to being what we see guys in baseball sign 12-year contracts. And that's thinking about that time versus, you know,
sure.
Sometimes a college career could be 12 weeks. I think there's a lot of introspection going on there because I think there's a recognition that the player movement as such is probably not sustainable. And there's going to be real effort to curb that for sure.
By the way, as it relates to, you know, this $20.5 million, the new economic model, we'll get to NIL in a moment. Would a contract that gets signed be a contract that would be a 1099 independent contractor, or would it be a W-2 employee kind of structure?
Yeah, that's really the question. So the employee, they're not going to be employees. So there will be no employment contract, at least not right now. Some efforts to unionize or to have athletes recognized as employees have died on the vine. There's still a federal lawsuit that's going on that could make that happen. But the NCAA is staunchly opposed athlete employment for a really long time. And the reasons for that are, you know, pretty dynamic. But I mean, one of them is being afraid of paying minimum wage to all athletes. Another one is being afraid of paying out workers' comp. It's a financial thing. But I think one thing that others would argue, and to some of your questions earlier, is that the reason why there's so much perceived structure in professional sports is because there's collective bargaining agreements. And collective bargaining agreements can only happen if there's an employee-employee relationship right. to bargain with.
Yep.
So there's a lot of people who've called repeatedly for collective bargaining in college sports, and they're well-meaning. The piece they don't always answer is, okay, great, but what about the employment status? So one sort of has to come with the other. There's been calls for a congressional carve-out to collectively bargain without employee status. I think that's a real long shot. But, there isn't employment, and that's a whole other podcast episode, I think, or if you want to have me on, but it's a really complex question that continues to be deliberated.
Okay, so we have something that begins July 1st, which is the Power Four conferences, the big conferences with football and men's basketball and, you know, all of these other sports, there's going to be a salary cap where they're going to be able to pay the players directly and look for, you know, 75% to go to football, you know, 15% to go to men's basketball, maybe a couple of percentage points to women's basketball, and then the rest to the other 20 whatever sports. That's separate, though, correct, from NIL. So what's going on with NIL moving forward?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, because if you think about it, what has been the motivation for boosters forever? And that's get ahead. And if everyone's sort of spending with a similar formula, there are always going to be people who want to help their team, their favorite college, their coach that invites them to the Rotary Club, all those things. There's always going to be that person or many of those people who want to still help the team get ahead. And in the last 4 years, since NIL was approved in July of 2021, what that's meant is just giving an unchecked amount of money to these NIL collectives. A lot of times it was deductible to your taxes, and off you go. We saw reports, I wrote a story last year about Ohio State's $20 million football roster. That's where that comes from. Oregon, you know, a lot more money. Nike money from Phil Knight and other donors. You know, all these things. Now the NCAA, as I said earlier, is trying to limit that spending. They're trying to rein it in They want NIL to mean a deal from State Farm if you're Caitlin Clark, or a deal from the local car dealership in College Park if you're a smaller-time Maryland athlete. They do not want NIL to mean a booster gave $500,000 to help pay the quarterback who now is going to make that money for sending out three social media posts promoting a T-shirt.
Right.
That's what these deals have done. They've sort of built in some sort of action or service, a charity event, an autograph session, three social media posts, an appearance at a dinner, and they've attached that to money that, you know, I think the free market would say that booster can decide that that social media post is worth that much money. But if you're a casual observer, you're like, dang it, how much money for what? And the NCAA is really trying to weed that out. So what happens now is, does it go back under the table? Are there workarounds where that regulation doesn't work? Are there lawsuits that challenge that regulation? Does Congress pass a bill that allows them to regulate in the way they want to? So the question of what happens with sort of the booster economy of NIL is a fascinating one. It's really hard to answer right now because we're so soon after the settlement, but it's the biggest question because there's no world in which every single SEC football program is spending the same amount of money on its roster. That's just not how this has ever worked, ever. And there's a reason for that because there's egos and there's donors and there's seats to get out and there's, you know, and there's golf outings to go to with the AD and the coach. And I just don't see a world in which we're all actually spending to the same salary cap. I don't think that's just possible in this economy. And maybe I'm totally wrong, but that's how I see it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hope all is well.
Yep. Awesome.
Jesse Dougherty, everybody from the Washington Post. Really interesting times. We've got a true salary cap now in college sports moving forward. All right, that is it for the day. Chris Russell is up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.